every size and color combination, from new to antique, to complement any decor. Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign.
Good morning. This is Focus 580, hour number two of the show. It's our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers for our program, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, and Henry Frain is at the controls this morning. In this hour of the show, we'll be talking about travel. Maybe you have already been thinking a little bit about what you might like to do with your vacation time this year, if you're lucky enough to have one. You're thinking about a summer trip or something of some other time of the year. Maybe you're interested in visiting some exotic destination somewhere in Europe or elsewhere in the world, or you're thinking about seeing some of the United States. Whatever kind of travel question you have, we'll see if we can help you out this morning as we talk with Pauline Frommer. She is the creator and editor of Pauline Frommer's guidebooks coming out this spring. She's a travel writer, has been writing about travel for a long time, and she's joining us this morning by telephone. Questions, of course, are welcome. That's the idea here. 333-9455 is the Champaign-Urbana number. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one's good anywhere that you can hear us. So if it would be a long-distance call for you, we will save you the money on the call. You can use our toll-free line. That is 800-222-9455. So 333-9455 or WILL. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. Toll-free 800-222-9455. At any point here, you have questions, you can give us a call. Ms. Frommer, hello.
Hello, good to be here.
Well, thanks very much for talking with us. Anything else in the way of introduction you would like to say about yourself, other than the fact that the name is, we should associate the name Frommer's with travel guides, that's for sure.
Yes, my father, Arthur Frommer, founded the Frommer Guides when he was a GI during the Korean War. Right before he was about to be shipped off to Korea, they discovered he spoke five languages, and so he was sent to Germany instead, and found all kinds of cheap and wonderful places for his friends to stay, ended up writing Europe on $5 a day, and it accidentally changed his life.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where to start here. I guess maybe I can ask this question because there are now a number of guidebook series, and if you go to the bookstore, there will be a travel section where there'll be a lot of books. Mm-hmm. There also is a lot of available information now online, and there are websites that have information about travel. Thinking about that in particular, are there any websites that you particularly like? Or, you know, what do you think about using the internet as a way of planning your travel?
I think the internet is a terrific way of planning your travel, actually. But I think you need to be careful. You have to figure out which sites are trying to sell you something and which are giving impartial information. If you go to any of the major news sites, they all have travel sections, and they're fairly reliable. Frommer's has its own site, frommer's.com, and you can get all of the Frommer guidebooks there for free. The content is all online and free, so that's a terrific thing for travelers. There are now what are called bot search engine sites for airfares, which blow Expedia, Travelocity, and Orbitz out of the water. They're called sidestep.com and kayak.com and mobissimo.com, and what they do that's different than those travel agent sites is you put in an itinerary for travel, and then they hook directly into the airline sites. So you're not getting information that may be biased because of how the airlines pay to be shown on the screen, and you're getting better rates because you're not paying any kind of user fee, as you will with Expedia, Travelocity, and Orbitz. In fact, Smart Money magazine did a study, and it found that prices at Sidestep were the best something like 45% of the time, which is pretty good.
Hmm. Well, that's something that I was definitely interested in hearing about. I expect that now probably there are some people who are doing more of actually trying to buy their tickets and make their travel arrangements online, and you mentioned some of those sites that are well-known.
Yeah.
At least they're well-advertised. You
have to remember that a lot of money goes into that advertising.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll get better deals from the smaller specialty sites.
Well, certainly I have just kind of for grins looked at some of the prices that they were quoting on the major sites like Orbitz and Expedia, and there didn't seem to be, to me, much difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that there are better places than that. to go.
Sure.
Well, there are specialists.
For example, if you wanted to go to London this winter and you could fly out of Chicago, there's a little company called GoToday.com. It started out as a Europe specialist. It only works with a small number of hotels in London, so you won't get the type of choice you'd get with an Expedia or an Orbitz. But if price is the most important thing to you, you could do it from Chicago, airfare and six nights hotel. I'm just looking at their site right now, for $519.
Now, that sounds like a pretty good deal.
Plus tax, yeah. That's a little company called Go Today. You've probably never heard of it. But because they work so deeply within certain markets, they can get prices that a generalist like Expedia could not get. So airfare packages are really something that people should look at. Because these companies buy rooms and seats in bulk, they can often get prices that consumers booking on their own cannot.
Hmm. Well, I want to again invite people who are listening, if you have questions about travel and travel planning, if you're looking for suggestions for particular destinations, or you have any questions that have to do with traveling today, you should pick up the telephone and give us a call, and you can talk with our guest, Pauline Frommer. She's the creator, editor, Pauline Frommer's guidebooks coming out this spring.
Which are affiliated with the Frommer Guide.
All right. And indeed has been in this business of writing about travel for a long time and came by it honestly, because she is the daughter of the man who started the Frommer's books. How many dollars a day was it when he first
Europe on $5 a day.
$5 a day.
His most common complaint was he would get letters saying, $5, I did it for $2.50. Are you crazy?
Now, how many dollars a day do you think you could do it for today?
Well, that all depends on how you do it, really. One of the things you have to do in Europe, because the euro remains pretty strong, it's not as strong as it was before, but I think more and more people need to look at alternative accommodations. If you can do a house rental for a week and say, post yourself in Umbria, in the Italian countryside, and make day trips from there, you'll pay much less than you would in a hotel. Even less if you did what I did when I went to Rome last summer. I rented a room in an actual Roman's apartment, and I paid just $75 a night, which for Rome is spectacular. So there are ways to do it. You just need to be creative.
All right. Well, we have a couple of callers. Let's start out. We'll talk with someone in Danville, and that's line number 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
We have an 18-year-old son who's a senior in high school, and he would love to go to Ireland when he graduates from high school.
Oh, how
wonderful. Do you have any specific tips for Ireland?
It'll all depend on when he goes. I guess he'll probably be going in the summer, which unfortunately is the more expensive time to go, and Ireland is not as cheap as it used to be. One of the things they have that is terrific, though, for younger travelers, they have these things called hop-on, hop-off buses, whereby you buy one pass, and it will take you from town to town in Ireland, often stopping in front of the local youth hostel. I think it's called Haggis Adventures. That's in Scotland, but I think it's also in Ireland. And those can be terrific for young backpackers. He should also consider doing B&B stays. There are companies such as, I'm blanking on the name. Go Today has some packages whereby you get a car and you get vouchers to stay at various B&Bs around the country, and that can really cut costs. And I think that there's no better way to see Ireland than by B&B, because you're staying in actual people's homes, you're meeting the Irish, who are the friendliest, loveliest people on earth, and you're getting a real insider's view of the country.
Well, we actually have relatives there, too, and so he'd be able to stay with them.
Oh, how terrific.
As well, so we're kind of looking for, as you had mentioned, the low-cost airfare to England.
Yeah, what I would do is I would get on the website of Aer Lingus and sign up for their deal newsletter. Often they will send out letters just to their subscribers if they have a particularly low price. So it's worthwhile to sign up there.
Oh, okay, good. Great. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And let's go next to talk with someone in Terre Haute over in Indiana, line number 1. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I was wondering about some information about traveling in Guatemala.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I am not an expert in Latin America as much as I should be. There are certain companies now that are cropping up, such as Marnella Tours is a good one. There's Chico Travel is another good one. There's Capricorn Leisure Corporation, which you'll find at capricorn.net. And these Latin American specialists can often help you set up trips to Guatemala, but I don't often hear about Guatemala, to be honest, and I don't know that much about it. I'm sorry. It's a big world.
Well, how should I look on the Internet to find these places that you just mentioned? I can't write as fast as
sure.
You. Sure.
I'm sorry. Well, if you go to a site like Fromers.com, you will find our recommendations for different Latin American specialists. Capricorn.net is a terrific one. I'm trying to think. There's another site called SmarterTravel.com, which is another journalist-based site. They will often list companies of this sort, and it's not paid listings. If you go to a site like TravelZoo, you're getting advertising. The same with Expedia or Travelocity. But if you can go to the journalist-based site, you can often find these smaller companies.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Sure, have fun.
Well, again, thank you for the call. Let's continue, and I think our next caller would be in Iroquois County, line number 2. Hello.
Hi. I'm interested so much, and I didn't catch quite all of that go today. I just turned on the radio at that time, and you said in Chicago, and it's airfares and rooms.
Airfare and hotel for 6 nights here. I'll click back to their site. I have an open computer in front of me. Their base price from New York is $399, and then from Chicago you add another $120. From other areas of the Midwest, it's $150. You would add to that a fuel surcharge and taxes. But for London, where you can pay $200 a night just for a hotel, it's a tremendous offer. You get an airfare and 6 nights for that, and the company is called GoToday.com.
Oh,
its competitor, VirginVacations.com, which is affiliated with the airlines, also often has terrific prices to London. So look there, too, Virgin Vacations.
Now, does GoToday go to other places other than London?
Yeah, it goes all across Europe. Okay. It goes to the Caribbean, although its prices aren't so good there. And it also goes to Latin America. And sometimes it has good prices to Brazil and Costa Rica.
Okay, and the other one was Virgin.com?
VirginVacations.com. Yeah, it's the air hotel package arm of Virgin Atlantic Airlines.
Okay. I wanted to tell you that many, many years ago, my husband and I went using your dad's book, Europe, on $15 a day, and it worked.
Oh,
it
wonderful.
Was great.
Oh, good. Oh, that's so wonderful. Terrific.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Let's see where we go next. We'll talk with someone in Urbana on our line number 3. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I was wondering if you had any tips for booking a hotel room for a family of 4 in Germany. My grandparents live in Germany, and when we went last summer, I was trying to find a hotel room, and I really had a hard time, and all the sites that I looked at were mostly just one room for 2 people. And,
yeah.
You know, when you're traveling with kids, you need a room where you can all sleep together.
Yeah, absolutely. How long are you staying there for?
Well, actually, it's... I don't have any immediate plans, but I was really looking for in the future. I don't know.
Because I think the best thing for families is to ditch hotels altogether. If you're spending a week in a place, get an apartment rental instead. You could go to a place called interhome.com, and for the cost of a hotel room, you could get a 1 or 2-bedroom apartment with a kitchen, which is so great with kids. Because you have a fridge where you can, store food, and you have a little privacy. You're not all sleeping in the same room, but it's not like they're across the hall. You're all in the same apartment. Interhome is a good source. There's also, there's tons of vacation rental companies. What I would suggest you do is go to the German Tourist Board and ask them to suggest some good ones for the city that you'll be visiting. But, when you can, with kids, apartments are just great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And cheaper than hotels, sure.
Great, that's a good resource. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for the call. We have another person here, somebody on our toll-free line, our line 4. Hello.
Yes, I'm interested in knowing about some moderate-priced, interesting places to visit in Scandinavia.
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting. It used to be that Sweden was the most expensive place in Scandinavia, but lately, because of the tremendous success of Norway and Denmark, Sweden has become one of the least expensive to visit. Now, it's still, all of those countries are still going to be much more expensive than the rest of Europe. They're prices just are higher in Scandinavia, but there are ways to do it inexpensively through an air hotel package, as I discussed before. There are also these ferries which run throughout the fjords of Norway. They're mostly taken by locals, but you can actually book a cruise on these ferries, you get a lovely stateroom, very Scandinavian design, so everything is efficient and very brightly colored. And you cruise through the fjords meeting Scandinavians. It's a wonderful way to see the country, and it's one of the cheapest ways to see Scandinavia because hotel stays there tend to be pretty expensive.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
All right. Questions are certainly welcome. Our guest this morning in this part of Focus 580 is Pauline Frommer. She is a travel writer. She's creator and editor of Pauline Frommer's Guidebooks, which is part of the Frommer's series. Her dad was the guy who started this all by writing that book about going to Europe and spending just a few dollars a day, and that's still kind of going along. It takes a few more dollars now than when he first did it, but he had done that for a long time, and so she came up in kind of in that business of writing about travel. She's contributed to many different publications is joining us this morning by telephone to talk about traveling. And if you were planning a trip and you have some questions, you need a little bit of advice, maybe you're looking for a suggestion of a place to go, you can call in and see what she has to say. 333-9455. That's for Champaign Urbana listeners. We do also have toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. And we're back here locally. We have someone in Urbana to talk with. Line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I am looking for relatively reasonable places to stay for 6, 7, maybe 8 adults in Hawaii.
Yeah. Okay. What you want to do for Hawaii is go with an air hotel package and see if you can get a group discount. Usually you need 15 people, but it'll depend on when you're going. Oahu is the cheapest of the Hawaiian islands in terms of both air and hotel. Mm-hmm. If just for hotel, you'll spend less on Molokai, but Molokai doesn't have any kind of nightlife. It's really if you want to have a very pristine experience. Probably you'll pay the least in Oahu. A good company is Pleasant Hawaiian. You'll find them on the web at pleasantholidays.com. They have very good money-saving packages. The Ohana, which actually means family in the Hawaiian language, the Ohana hotel chain, while not at all slick or that ambiance-filled, has very clean, very nice hotels throughout Hawaii, and they might work with you on a group rate. So those would be the places I would start with.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Right, thanks for the call. Next, we'll go to Arcola for another caller here, line number two. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Hi.
I was wondering if I could get any information on a trip maybe to the north of Scotland this summer.
Well, Scotland is a tremendous destination, and actually the Frommer's Guides, we've just put out a list of the top up-and-coming destinations in the world, and Glasgow is one of them. We think it's a terrific jumping-off point to see the rest of Scotland. Everybody usually thinks of Edinburgh when they think of nightlife and culture, but Glasgow has become a real arts center and a real pub center. Well, it always was. It also has terrific Victorian architecture. The hotels there are slightly cheaper than you'll find in Edinburgh. It has great museums, great golf right outside the city. So for a Scottish vacation, and you know, Scotland isn't that large, so you can hop from one point to pretty much everywhere else. I would recommend basing yourself in or around Glasgow.
Okay. Can you get a direct flight then?
You can, I don't know. You'd have to go to either a travel agent or go to a site like sidestep.com. Unfortunately, I don't know. I don't have that at the tip of my fingers.
I'll check on that. Do you have any information on maybe renting a cottage up on the North Sea for a week, maybe?
Sure, that's a great idea. I mentioned Interhome before. There are dozens of other terrific cottage rental places. I would contact the British Tourist Board and have them recommend some companies and surf around the web, see what looks good. I'm a little leery. I know people have great luck with vacation rental by owner. I'm always a little leery of them because the cottages and apartments you get aren't vetted by anyone. So I would go really with a company that represents properties, although that's also another possibility for you to go to VRBO.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Just something that occurs to me, and you know, we talked a little bit at the beginning about the fact that there are a lot of people now who are making their travel arrangements through online kind of brokers, buying tickets through either something big like Expedia or Orbitz, or you mentioned some that were a little bit smaller that people might not have heard about, but you might get a better deal by going
right.
That way, which also makes me think about the poor travel agents and what's happening with that business and how things have been changing for them now that there are more places to go for people to go and make their arrangements.
Yeah, and also since the airlines have pretty much gotten rid of commissions to travel agents,
yeah,
which has been a major revenue source.
Right. It just makes you wonder what future is there for the travel agent as we have known them.
Well, I think the good travel agents will last because, those people are worth their weight in gold. What a lot of travel agents are doing now are they're specializing. We have a lot more who specialize either in a certain area of the world or in one particular type of vacation. Cruising, for example, can still be extremely profitable for a travel agency. But the general travel agent who mostly just book tickets, I don't think there's going to be a job for those people for much longer.
Hmm. Well, let's talk with someone else here, someone in Champaign County. They are next, line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that Latin America may not be your specialty, but I'd be interested in getting sea transportation to and from Rio de Janeiro.
Ooh, I think the only sea transportation you could get would be on a freighter cruise.
Uh-huh.
I don't know of any cruise lines that go to Rio from the United States. You could do a freighter, but you'd probably spend a couple of months getting there. If you have the time, it's a fascinating way to travel. Freighters are fairly inexpensive. You can pay about $150 or $100 a day. It really all depends on the freighter. There's a company called Travel Tips, TravelTips. That specializes in freighter travel and booking people onto those types of vacations. And you'd spend 2 months or so, weaving down the coast to Rio de Janeiro. Rio is a fascinating place. I'd suggest you just fly down. Once you get there, it's pretty cheap. I was there last summer with my family, and it's a marvelously friendly place. It made me think of high school because everybody there is so insanely beautiful, but that you feel a little bit. I brought me back to high school. I felt a little bit shy there, but they're also tremendously friendly in the music and the culture. It's just a wonderful place to visit, although, of course, you do have to be careful. There is a great disparity between the poor and the rich there, and hence a lot of crime.
Well, thank you for the travel tips.
Well, if you want to go there, generaltours.com has good air hotel packages, as well as gotoday.com, Marnella Tours. Those are all specialists to Rio, and they have great deals that way. For the only way by sea would be by freighter.
Lodging at the other end is not a problem. It will visit friends there.
Well, you know what I did? I went to there's a site called cheapflights.com, and what it does is it hooks you up with consolidators, which are travel agents that buy tickets in bulk and then sell them at a discount. And I found a Brazil Brazil specialist that way, who usually only deals with the Brazil expat community. And I was able to find, I think, $500 round-trip airfares for last summer, or it might have been the summer before, now that I'm thinking of it, through a Brazil specialist. So you may want to go to cheapflights.com, which is kind of an aggregator site for many different specialty travel agencies.
Well, thank you for that, too.
Sure.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. We certainly have time for other questions. Our guest this morning is Pauline Frommer. She's a travel writer. She's creator, editor of Pauline Frommer's guidebooks that are part of the Frommer series. They'll be coming out this spring. And that's one. The Frommer books have been around for a long time. And if you're interested in researching some place that you might be thinking about going, that would be one avenue. You could head down to the bookstore or the library and take a look and see what they have. Questions here are welcome to 333-WILO, toll-free 800-222-WILO. She also mentioned a little earlier in the program that if you go to their website, which is frommers.com, the content of the travel guides is there.
And free,
believe it or not. They're giving it away there. So if you're interested in doing a little bit of research that way, you can do that. And here on the program, calls are welcome to 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Just maybe I might ask you to talk for a minute or two. You mentioned the fact that Frommer's has put out a list of their top 10 places for up-and-coming destinations for 2006, and you mentioned that one of them was Glasgow in Scotland. What are some of the other places that are on your list?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be dry right now, but we chose Amador County in California, which is outside Sacramento. It's one of the gold rush areas of California, so it has wonderful old ghost towns and terrific history and Victorian houses, but it also has wineries, and wineries that have mature, terrific wines but are not as inundated by visitors as the Napa Valley is. So going to Amador County, it's like going to the Napa Valley was 50 years ago. You go from winery to winery. You actually meet the guy who's making the wine. He's thrilled to see you. He gives you a taste without charging you. It's a real nice, old-fashioned experience of wine tasting in Amador County. We also have Molokai, Hawaii, which I talked about a little bit earlier. It's the old Hawaii as well. It's totally undeveloped. It was best known for its leper colony for many years. You go there now, and there's not a building that's taller than a palm tree. There's not even a stoplight anywhere on the island. It's really the old, laid-back Hawaii. It's also less expensive in terms of hotel prices than other places in Hawaii. Also within the United States, we're recommending northwestern New Mexico. Most people think of going to Taos or Santa Fe, but when you go to northwestern New Mexico, around the area of Rama, you're going to one of the most exotic destinations in the United States because it really is like entering another country. You're in Pueblo country. This is where all the Indian reservations are. And it's very, very different culturally, absolutely beautiful. It's where you'll find El Morro National Monument, which was kind of like the Blarney Stone for the people, the pioneers who went across the West to California. It's where everybody would stop and scratch their name in the soft face of this huge cliff. So you go there and to see the ancient graffiti surrounded by absolutely spectacular wilderness. So those are a couple on our list.
Okay, very good. Well, questions are welcome, and in fact, the lines are now full, so we'll get back to talking with people who are listening and start with someone in Champaign and line number one. Right here. Hello.
Hello. I'm going on a Caribbean tour, my first cruise, starting on Saturday out of Fort Lauderdale, with stops at Georgetown, Cayman Island, and Ocho Rios, Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Every time I tell people I'm going on a cruise now and I'm going on Royal Caribbean, they start talking about the recent disappearances of guests. What is there a significant safety risk now on these cruises, especially with Royal Caribbean?
No, no. You know, we would this wouldn't have been such a big story if it was common. This was a very, very uncommon incident. Generally, cruising is among the safest activity that you can do. It's no longer one of the cheapest, as you probably found.
Well, I know that for a fact, yeah.
Yeah, and cruises are now operating at 104% capacity on average. So all of the deals are gone, and one of the things you want to be careful of is that you don't get robbed by the cruise line itself on board these ships just because there are so many extra charges nowadays. One of the things that you really want to be careful of is don't buy the shore excursions from the cruise company. You can simply either contact the tourist board on the island you're visiting or just get off the boat, and you'll see equally good tours being offered right there on the dock for about a third what you'd pay if you paid the cruise company directly.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Sure.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to line number two. This is also Champagne. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm planning a trip to Central America, and earlier the guest had mentioned some websites that do a lot better than sites like Orbitz for airfare.
Yeah, I'd say try cheapflights.com.
Okay.
They will hook you up with a bunch of Central American experts. Capricorn Leisure Company does both air and hotel packages, and they are really good if you're interested in Belize or Costa Rica. They have tremendous prices there and a staff that knows those countries inside and out. There's also Tico Travel, T-I-C-O Travel, which is another specialist in Central America. But for airfares alone, I would try cheapflights.com. Or you might want to try mobissimo.com, M-O-B-I-S-S-I-M-O. This is another aggregator site, so it takes its prices from all over the place, but it also deals more directly with the foreign airlines and the foreign sites. So if you were going to France, it would be searching Anyways, which is the Anyways.com is the French equivalent of Expedia, and it does the same in Latin America.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll try it out.
All right, good luck.
All right, thanks. When you do use the services like that, do you is one of the trade-offs that you may not have as much flexibility on when you go as if you were going through a traditional travel agent or ticket service or going through the airlines or anything like that?
No, you have just as much flexibility. In fact, you have a better idea of what's available out there. Some of the sites like Sidestep.com and Kayak.com allow you to input things into your search. Say you only can leave between 9 and noon in the morning and you can only return between 5 and 8 p.m. They allow you to winnow your search to only those departures and arrivals, or you can do a wide open search, which will give you all the options.
Hmm.
Really, these sites are doing are making you home travel agents. They're giving you all the tools that only traditionally travel agents had.
Well, it's good to hear. I guess what I think about some at least in the past, what I thought about some of the people who gave deep discounts on travels, that it was often the case that you didn't get as much choice. And it was one of those deals where if you could leave tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you could go tomorrow at 5 o'clock, if your bags were packed, you were ready to go, you had your passport, you'd go to be at the airport tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Well,
we've got a great deal for you. But otherwise, you know.
You will still find that with some specialists, mm-hmm. like, for example, with Go Today, which we were discussing earlier. To London, you won't get a choice of 300 hotels. You'll get a choice of 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in order to get the really deep prices, yeah, last minute discounts are terrific, and the web has been a tremendous value both to travel providers and to travelers because all of that distressed merchandise can be gotten to the public. And that's what it is, basically. At any hotel room that goes empty, somebody's losing money. So the web is a tremendous resource for that.
Okay. Well, let's talk with someone next in Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
For a 10-day trip to Lisbon over spring break, March 17th to 25th, we have very exact dates.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if you had any hints for finding either good deals on airfares, hotels, or combinations.
Well, Lisbon is one of the cheapest countries in Europe, so hopefully you shouldn't have any problem getting inexpensive hotels there. You're going to be in Lisbon for the entire 10 days?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if that would work, but there's a company called untours.com, which packages together apartment stays with airfares. You may want to contact them. They're a specialist to Europe. Interhome, as I said earlier, is a good source for apartment stays, and an apartment would be much less expensive than a hotel room for that length of time.
Great. Speaking of apartments, do any of these sites look at year-long rentals in Europe as well, or are they all for shorter term?
The sites that I've been recommending are really for vacationers.
Okay.
So they're not year-long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know of any good sites for year-long rentals?
No, I mean that gets into real estate.
Right.
you would probably simply go to a real estate agent in the city that you're looking at.
Sure. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. Next is Terre Haute, line number 4. Hello.
Hello. I'm interested in finding out information for Zanzibar or a safari in Kenya or that area in July.
Yeah, actually, Kenya was one of the places on our list. It's a wonderful place to go. Kenya had the game parks of Kenya, the Maasai Mara there, have the densest population of wildlife really anywhere in Africa. You go to South Africa or Tanzania and you might see lions, you might see hippos, you might see elephants, but if you go to Kenya, you are pretty much guaranteed it's an extraordinary safari destination. I like a company called 2Africa. It's spelled 2Africa.com. It's run by a gentleman named Ken, who is actually from South Africa, so he knows Africa very well, and his prices tend to be $200 or $300 less than the competition, but using the same game lodges, using the same guides, it's simply because he's an insider there. So I would look at his safaris. Last time I looked, were about $2,200 for airfare and from the U.S., usually from Atlanta for some reason, and the safari itself, which if you've been looking at safaris, you know is pretty good. There's another way to do safaris, but it's iffy. Sometimes, but often you can get great deals doing so. Basically, all of the safari companies that American companies work with are based in Johannesburg, South Africa. And you can simply go to Johannesburg and book a safari on site there to either the South African game parks or to Kenya, and you'll often pay half as much as you pay booking from the U.S., simply because you're dealing with the local operators directly. So that's a tip if you're an adventurous sort. If it worries you to fly to Africa without any definite plans, then I would recommend 2Africa.
Would they also have information then about Zanzibar and that area also?
They might. That's a difficult one, and I'm not quite sure really where to send you for that. You might want to simply go to your local library and take a look at some guidebooks and get some information there on who are the best operators to Zanzibar. It's not a question I get that often. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, thank you. And to Paris, Illinois, here, line number 1. Hello. Is our caller there?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm interested in Puerto Rico
The
next 2 to 3 months, and I've looked up and got some information, and there's just an overwhelming number of locations and hotels.
Yeah.
And we don't play golf, mm-hmm. or we don't need a casino, but I'd like a nice 3 or 4-star resort, and I wondered if you had any insight into that.
Puerto Rico is a wonderful destination because even though it's a fairly small island, it has so much to see and do there. It has a terrific rainforest. It has pristine beaches. It has perhaps the best preserved colonial city in the Caribbean. There's a place called El Convento, which is right directly in the old city of San Juan. It's a former convent, and it's absolutely gorgeous, top-quality rooms, but it does not have a beach. And I think you would probably want a beach.
Yes,
for
I do.
For that, I'm blanking on the name. There's a very famous resort. I am blanking on the name. I'm trying to type in quickly into my computer so I can look it up. But There are dozens of terrific resorts all over Puerto Rico, and I'm blanking on the name of the place we went. It was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Is it safe to go around in a car, a couple?
Oh, yes.
In the daytime? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things it's not safe to do is speed there.
Okay.
They have all kinds of speed traps all around the island, so you have to drive safely.
This name hasn't come to you, has it?
Oh, darn it. El Conquistador.
Oh, okay.
El Conquistador is a top resort, has its own little island offshore where you can take a boat to if you want a different beach scene. It has gourmet food. One of the nice things about Puerto Rico is the Caribbean is not really known for its food. It's often pretty lousy. But in Puerto Rico, there's darn good food. So
okay.
It's
now, this El Conquistador is the main lodge in Puerto Rico?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It has its own private island offshore, but it also has its own beaches on Puerto Rico.
Okay. Well, that's a good hint. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you. We have about 10 minutes left. I'm sure you have so many names crammed in your brain from all of the time that you've been doing this. It is probably...
Yeah, it's hard to cover the whole world. You know, one thing that I've wanted to mention to everyone, I don't know if you've heard the news, but Independence Air, which is a major airline here in the East Coast, has announced today that it's going belly up. It's ceasing operations on Thursdays. So if people are holding tickets on Independence Air, they should really print out whatever they have. They'll be able to fly standby on other carriers, but it's very important to have something on paper right now.
I know that we have I've heard it reported on our station and elsewhere. So they have managed to work out some kind of arrangement so that people aren't going to be left with nothing.
Well, there's a federal law that states that if a carrier goes belly up, the other carriers must carry those passengers, and they can't charge more than $50 for the new ticket. But the problem is you have to fly standby, and Independence Air was working with a lot of very, very small gateways which didn't have that many carriers servicing them. So it's going to be problematic. It's going to be interesting, and I think we're going to see prices rising very soon to Washington, D.C., which was its major gateway. So if you're planning to go to Washington, D.C., book now.
We have 5-6 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. We're talking with travel writer Pauline Frommer. She's associated with the Frommer's Travel Guides. They also have a website, which is frommers.com, that has a lot of travel information on it. She has written for a number of different kinds of publications. She's been associated with MSNBC. She's a regular on CNN talking about travel. And if you have questions, I know that she'll do her best to help you out. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. I'm sure at this time of the year, if you're in where we are, in the northern parts of the United States at least, and people are thinking about traveling, they want to go someplace warm.
Yeah.
And of course, since that's where everybody at this time, a lot of people want to go someplace warm, then that's also going to be the most expensive time to go to those places.
Well, it's not as expensive right now. If you can leave sometime in January, you'll pay much less than you would in February and March. Everybody has just finished doing all their Christmas traveling, and we don't have that many people going on vacation right now.
So that would be a good tip then. If you can actually, if you want to do that, go to someplace warm, get in there before everybody else is going to be gearing up and going, as if you can go this week or next week.
Or the week after.
Or the week after, then you will do a little bit better. What about for those people who actually like winter, and the idea is that they will actually, even though it's cold here, they want to go someplace where it's cold and snow. And I suppose that there are those people who do ski and who want that kind of experience. Is there any place that stands out for you as actually a prime winter destination where it is also winter?
Yeah, well, Whistler, Canada is a wonderful place to go now and right now. The Canadian dollar is not as weak as it used to be against the American dollar, but it's still slightly weaker, making it a better value than the American ski resorts. And every year it gets reviewed by Ski Magazine, who consistently rank it the top ski mountain in North America. So if you are interested in skiing or snowboarding, I would recommend Whistler. there's dozens upon dozens of wonderful places all across the United States, of course. Steamboat Colorado pops to mind because it has a nice combination of cowboy culture. You see a lot of guys in the boots and the hats sauntering bow-legged through town next to the she-she skiers, and Steamboat is significantly less expensive than Aspen or Vail, but has just as good skiing. So those would be my top two, I think.
All right. Next, we will talk with someone in Tuscola, line number four. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I was wondering about traveling in Egypt, say over the winter months. Mm-hmm. Is it safe right now from a world perspective? And are there any, like, in-country places that one could explore travel options?
Well, Egypt is, I would have to say, one of the most welcoming countries of Americans. I had a colleague who went there last year, and when they heard he was from New York, he was literally surrounded by people hugging him and shaking his hands. Of course, we had the terrible disaster in Luxor a couple of years ago, and we had the bombing at those resorts near the Dead Sea. So yes, safety is an issue. The Egyptian government has been the presence of forces of police and military forces at all the major tourist sites is incredible. I mean, you go there and you're literally surrounded by police if you go to see the pyramids or the temples at Luxor or the Sphinx. But obviously, it still is an issue, but one could say that about so many places in the world. I would say go to Egypt. The people there really genuinely like Americans, and they're very happy you're there. The costs, once you pay for airfare, which will be steep, but on the ground, the costs are not that high. You can get a terrific meal for $10. There's all kinds of places throughout the country to explore. And it's an amazing destination. I can still remember the last trip I took when we took horses across the desert, and it was just astounding to be, you know, galloping with the pyramids flashing by on the left. It really is a remarkable place to visit and tremendously friendly.
Would you recommend, like, setting up anything within the country, sites like you mentioned to other people for other destinations?
You mean
to hook up with rather than to go through someone?
Well,
here in the
most
States.
Americans who go there go on guided tours. I'm not sure if you need to do that, quite honestly. There's a lot of poverty there, and so it's not that hard to pick up a guide right on the spot with a car in Cairo who will literally drive you anywhere you want to go. And by doing that, there's all kinds of pyramids. The big three at Giza are the ones that are well known, but if you go to the others, you'll be all alone, wandering through these ancient ruins and seeing the places that most tourists who take guided tours don't see. So I would recommend simply grabbing a guidebook and going. You can book flights once you're there. You might want to do a felucca cruise down the Nile. That's a wonderfully evocative and scenic way to see the country. But you can do this independently if you're an adventurous type.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We'll go at least one more here to Champagne in line number two. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is about travel in Thailand. I haven't heard the whole program, so sorry if this is a repeat question. I would like to take within the next couple of years a early, like 13, 14-year-old teenager. Wanted to get your opinion about that, and also if you have any idea about how the tourism around the whole tsunami area has been. I will hang up and listen. Thank you.
Oh, okay. The tsunami area is coming back. I mean, just in the weeks after the terrible tragedy last year, many of the resorts were operating once again, and obviously they desperately need tourist dollars. That's what they lived off of. But there's much to see in Thailand beyond those resorts, and I'm not sure if you want to go all the way to Thailand just to have a beach vacation. Most people go to Bangkok, where you see, of course, the fabulous golden temples, which would be tremendously educational for the son or daughter you're bringing with you. And then they go on to Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai, where you can go up into the hills on guided tours. My father did this. He rode an elephant with his wife up to this village and slept in the night in a wooden hut and met topless women who, you know, came bearing greetings and gifts, and it was one of his greatest travel adventures. It's a tremendously educational, exotic trip. The Thais are wonderfully friendly people, and I don't know about you, but Thai food is one of my favorite cuisines in all the world, and you haven't tasted lemongrass until you've tasted it in Thailand. What we have here tastes nothing like the real thing. The same for baby bamboo shoots. Just astoundingly delicious food.
Okay. Maybe we'll try real quick one more. I think it's Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. I was wondering about ecotourism, especially to the Amazon.
Ecotourism is a difficult term because a lot of companies use it and they don't really know what they mean by it. It's very much a marketing term. Some companies say they're ecotourists because they use recycled paper. So you really want to make sure that the company you're going with, if this is an issue for you, and I think it should be, really travels in a sustainable manner, in that they don't damage the Amazon, that they use local resources and local guides so that the money goes into the community rather than to outsiders. But it's a wonderful idea. You probably want to go to Belém or to that other city in the Amazon region, from which you can hop off to different lodges and you can take tours of the Amazon from those places. I think it would be a marvelous adventure.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there we're going to have to stop because we've come to the end of the time. If you're planning a trip and you're looking for some travel information, you can go to the library, go to the bookstore, and take a look at the Frommer's Guides. That's one very popular series of guides. They've been doing that for a long time. They also have a website, which is frommers.com. There's a lot of information there that's free on the website, and that will help you do the research that you're going to want to do to plan your next trip. And our guest this morning, Pauline Frommer, who has been writing about travel for quite a long time. Ms. Frommer, thanks very much for talking with
us. Thank you.
Support for Focus 580, this program, comes from the Infant Parent Institute, with offices in Champaign. The Infant Parent Institute is a private clinical practice and research institute dedicated to supporting the mental health of young children and their families. Information on the web at infantparent.com. And that's it for us here on Focus 580. We'll be back here, of course, tomorrow with live programs and for the rest of the week, trying to get back to our somewhat regular schedule. Tomorrow is the first Wednesday of the month, and the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, will be stopping by. I don't know what the topic is, but I can guarantee you we'll have a good time with Doyle. That'll be tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour, so hope you can join us then. Want you to stay tuned, because coming up next is the Afternoon Magazine, and the host back today is Celeste Quinn.
Thank you, David. Coming up this afternoon in the 1 o'clock hour of the Afternoon Magazine, we'll dip one more time into the archives at this holiday season, and we will rebroadcast an interview with journalist David Woolman, the author of A Left-Hand Turn Around the World, Chasing the Mystery and Meaning of All Things Southpaw. Let's take a look now at what's happening on the markets. First stop, Kansas City, where we look at the March contract. March wheat, 390 and three quarters, up 3 3/4. Now to Chicago, where March wheat is trading at 345 and a quarter, up 6. May, 355, up 6 1/4. March corn, 219 and a half, up 3 3/4. May, 228 and a quarter, up 3.